I'm Megan Nirbas. I'm our GIS manager for Sussex County, and today I have with me Joel Marshall, who is our GIS programmer. We're going to start out by presenting the new version of the online map for the public, and Joel was the lead programmer on that project, so he's going to drive for us while I try to narrate, and hopefully we'll do it effectively and efficiently for you. So we have, we're getting ready to launch this landing page, and we're going to run, you'll see in the middle there's the updated Sussex County map viewer, and then there's the current map viewer. We're going to run them side by side for 30 days so that folks can figure out the new process and make sure that any function that they had in the old one, they also have available to them in the new. We also have updated help documents in both of those, so you can see how you might have done it in this version and how we would suggest you do it in the current version. So with that, we're going to go ahead and open up the online map. You'll notice it looks a little bit different, and the reason for this is scalability among multiple devices. So the current online map, it only works very well in a desktop, and if you try to use it on your phone, it doesn't function very well. If you try to use it on a tablet, it doesn't function very well. This is fully scalable and should work appropriately in all of those different devices. So we're hoping that'll be useful, particularly for folks in the field, and we know everyone has their phone on them at all times, so we want to make sure that that data is available to them where they need to use it. We've also added some additional searches. We're able to search now by our subdivisions, so we're going to use Chapel Green as an example to drive down to show this. So planning and zoning is actually maintaining this layer of new subdivisions as it comes in, and as applications are made, they're updating this layer for us. So they have additional information that they have been adding to this as well. Now, we also had the request to be able to search individual parcels by subdivision. So you want to know everything within a current subdivision. So if we use that same search of Chapel Green, but we just adjust our search that we're using to parcels by subdivision. So if we change that in the drop down there, and we go ahead and search that, you'll see on the bottom there, 229 parcels were selected that in the assessment record are associated as Chapel Green properties. So then you can go ahead and investigate those individually. We still have the limitation of having five at a time on your search result, but you'll see that all are actually selected, and you can bounce around and investigate those as you so wish. So pretty much all of these additions have been from suggestions either from the public or folks like yourselves who have wanted to do a task and you were not able to do it. So we always welcome that feedback, so we encourage that as people are playing with the new system to please let us know, because we do incorporate those suggestions that come in.
If you tap one of the numbers on another one, go up to 234, if you tap that one, 234, then it'll pop up on the right. Right.
Correct, yes. It'll the associated tax records are in there, and it is reading live from the new.
Is the 911 address showing up anywhere?
Yep, sure is. So if you go over to the left there, there are a lot of different layers that you can activate depending on what you're interested in. Mm-hmm. We have layers that we are the authoritative source for, as well as layers that we are not the authoritative source for. So we pull in the state's first map system as well, so that we're not dual hosting those items. So if it's something that DENREC is the steward for, we pull it directly from the DENREC server. So we have a lot of things in here. Some are ours, some are the state level, some are federal level. We have the FEMA program in here as well, and we make sure that we are pulling it directly from the authoritative source, and we're all looking at
it. And does the 911 address show up? How does it show up?
Yeah.
Yes. So if we have that layer activated,
okay.
And then you just have to zoom in close enough. So they're what's called scale dependent.
Okay.
And if you had everything turned on at the same time, then it would be very messy. It would be kind of an alphabet soup of messy. So you have to make sure that you're zoomed in to be able to see those individuals.
So where is the 911 address? Is it the 5?
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. I mean, the average person's going to have to know that that 5 means that.
So there is, Joel, if you click on the layers there, you should be able.
There's so many 911 addresses are what, 5 digits in most places. So
Most places.
Yeah, to say, so you see a 5, you're thinking, is that lot number 5 or is that enough parcel, you know? The average person, it's just hard to determine that 5 was an address.
Right. And we do have, when you have the legend turned on, you can see what colors represent what, and we'll show that when we get to the printing functionality as well. So an additional search feature that we've added is searching addresses by tax ID. So if you have, that's one of the number one calls that we get in the addressing division, is someone will call and they say, I have this tax ID, what's the address associated with it? So we have added, oops, your bar disappeared on you there. There you go. We've added the ability to go ahead and self-service and search for those addresses based on tax ID. So if we put in one of those, you just want the mother parcel first. You want the, this one up here?
Oh.
It's okay. There you go. So it'll drive directly down to that 911 address, and on the right-hand side, you will see the information associated with the address. Now, if you just click inside the parcel, you can change that, and you can see the ownership information. So depending on what you're interested in, you can select those. Actually, Joel, if you'll hit layers for me and show where we want the information. So you see the little eye, the little identification. Anytime that you want to be able to investigate further on that particular layer, if you click that little eye and then you hit select area, then you kind of drag around that. You'll see on the top there where it says selected features and 911 address, any layer, if you hit that drop down, any layer that you have, you can go back and forth between those layers. So if you have zoning turned on and you want to investigate what's inside the zoning, any of those that you have that eye checked for, it will give you whatever is within those layers. And that's true for all of the state layers as well.
And the mailing address is not the location, it's the billing address, basically.
Correct. That can be whatever, right, whatever they want it to be. It can be in the UK. So as far as our next search, we also are able to search for that address using tax ID, even if there is an assessment unit. Now, assessment units, they are issued after a declaration is recorded. So we actually have long since issued those addresses before that declaration comes in, and then they tack on that assessment unit based on what is written in the declaration. So it's a very large challenge to figure out when someone calls in with that tax ID and says, what's the address for that? We'll take you over to, we'll go to Potnets Cove side to give you a concept of why this is an issue and why we've created this solution. So in here on Potnets Cove side, if he just clicks on that, what we call a mother parcel, you'll see that there are actually 169 tax records associated with that one mother parcel. How do I know which one I'm really interested in when I'm looking at an individual property? And this has been a huge problem for our addressing team. And in the past, what they had to do was say, well, what street are you on? Okay, well now, if I'm turning from this main entrance, are you on the left side or are you on the right side? And then what number building are you? They'd have to pull the recorded plot, they have to pull those declarations and try to actually link that data up. Our addressing team has done a ton of that background work, and they have actually added in to the 911 addresses over 35,000 assessment units, so you can search those directly. And we'll do an example for you now. So if you drop down to address by tax ID, and we put in an individual unit in Putnam's Cove side, we have that mother parcel, which they all start with the same, 234, 25, 27, and now we have an individual assessed unit within that property, and you can drive down directly to which one that is based on that tax ID with assessment unit. Seems like a small thing, but it was quite the task to get it done. So hours for those assessment clerks and even some field work was required as well. All right, now we're gonna move on to our new printing layouts that are available to you. The nice thing, so this is the previous printing layout, and you'll see that there in the legend, there are a lot of things that you may not have cared about at all. You may not have had a school in your layout, and you may not have cared about hydrology, but we gave you everything because that was our only option. Now we're able to make that dynamic, and you're only going to see the items associated that you were interested in. So you can see the tax parcels, county boundaries, and subdivisions, because that is what you had selected at the time that you printed this. The other thing that seems like a small thing but was a huge task was actually getting the information, that ownership information, to come up on your print. People would have to do a screen grab to get the information on the inside, as well as a full print to only get the map. So we're hoping that that will ease a lot of pains to be able to see what you had in that information box. All right. So we have a lot of updates in the GIS world in general, and Mr. Lawson asked that we kind of give you a little bit of rundown of things that are happening in the background that you may not otherwise be aware of. We know that you're all aware that we did a full conversion of our sewer systems from CAD into GIS. And for anyone who has not seen what the CAD system is, it sort of looks like a combination of spaghetti and alphabet soup. There's just so much stuff on there, because the only way to actually represent those items is to basically sticky note them on top of each of those things. So what the valve is, what the diameter of the pipe is, how long the pipe is, all of those things are all just on top of each other in these CAD files. It's all great information, and we wanted to maintain and capture all of that information. But now Joel will show you, if he clicks on an individual asset, it's all maintained within that asset. So you can tell that that is PVC, and whatever the lengths are, you can, all of that is just right within the actual system. Another thing that seems like it should be a small thing is being able to find your assets and see how many you have. We actually had a project where three staff members had to count the amount of pipe by diameter, the number of manholes, and it took weeks for these staff members to do that in the CAD system. Now that we're in GIS, he can select an area, he can select whatever the asset is that you're interested in, apply that search, and it will just come up that there are 17 manholes within that area, and you can click on any individual manhole, and it will take you there to find more information about that individual asset. So that was a very, very small thing that you would be amazed at how hard that is in the CAD, and you have to be an expert.
Now we don't have all those people spending all that time looking for this information, right?
That's the idea.
Get a reduction in workforce.
So with that being said, another task that is very challenging is if someone calls in from the public and they want to know if there's a lateral available to them on their property. If you were to do that in the CAD world, you had to have a full CAD license, someone who was very familiar with the sewer district. You couldn't search by tax ID. You couldn't search by address. So you had to know when they called you approximately where you were, try to pan and zoom down to that property, and then be able to scroll over and know what you're looking at in that alphabet soup to be able to give pretty basic information to a constituent who wants to know if there's service in their area. Now we've been able to add searching by up in the top right-hand side there. You can search by address. You can search by tax ID. So any clerk in the engineering department would be able to run those searches and give that information out to a customer. And then secondarily, if you needed to search by an asset, like you wanted to go to pump station 35, in the past you would need to know exactly what you're looking for and where to go. Now you don't have to be an expert in sewer to find those individual assets. It'll take you right down to it, and then you can click on it and inquire and find out more about what's within that pump station. And as a second phase of this, we are going to actually do what's called containments, and we're going to create mapping of what's the mini network inside of the pump station, because that's a whole nother network. So in the future, what we're going to be able to do, there's a lot of amazing functionality where this is a true network where everything is connected. They can turn off anything in the network and see what it's going to affect upstream, downstream. So those are things to come when we can do that tracing and see where things actually flow. And all of those flow directions that you see, that's truly the direction of flow as it's pumping. So, all right, so now I wanted to share with you that it's no small statement to say we really genuinely are going to be revolutionizing the way that locators do their field ops for our engineering division. And what we've done here is we use, for our misutility tickets, we use the one call system, which is the state standard. And right now, they will come in with hundreds of emails a day. every single locator has to open every single one of those emails and figure out if it's within his or her district, and then plan their day based on whatever they found in those hundreds of emails that actually applies to them. Secondarily, dispatch has to do that as well, because if someone's not here for the day, they need to make sure that there's coverage, and it's a very cumbersome process for them to make sure that all of those tickets are hit, because they have a window of opportunity that they have to respond by. So what we've done is we've worked with OneCall to be able to pull those tickets in and script them, and working with our engineering division, we were able to create locator districts, so when we receive that signature of location from OneCall, we can automatically assign those based on who is supposed to be working in that district. So what happens is we haven't done anything to adjust what's coming in on the tickets. We're just reading it directly from the same system that comes into the email. So if you'll select one for me, it'll drive you directly to it. This is the dispatcher view. So this would be an administrative person who is overseeing or managing the engineering team in the field. And if we open an individual ticket, you'll see all of the information that you would see in the normal OneCall system. And we've also linked back to that. So if you should ever need to see the original ticket to verify anything, we're still connected to that OneCall system. Now, the other nice thing about this workforce application for our dispatcher, if you'll drive back over to workforce for me, thank you. If you need to make an assignment because someone is out for the day, you can batch assign someone's tickets to another worker. So you're able to just assign it to one of your other team members if you need to, instead of getting on the phone and trying to explain all of these emails that are now yours for the day. So we're not going to do a full demo today, but I want to verbalize that there is also a worker view. So on their individual tablets, they will see only the tickets assigned to them. They can interact with those tickets. They can status those tickets. They can collect photo or video of the area. They can send information back to the GIS team if there's an as-built revision that needs to be made because something's not right on the mapping system. And they're also able to status and send back up to OneCall. So it's a two-way street. We're receiving the information from OneCall, and we're able to go back and status those. So then we don't have people coming back into the office, logging into OneCall, and individually statusing all the tickets they did throughout the day. They can just do it as they go. And we also have critical tickets that will come in, and these have to be responded to within 2 hours. And what happens when this ticket is assigned to someone, it sends a pop-up notification to their phone, and they have to acknowledge that they have received that ticket. If they do not acknowledge it, dispatch will know that they have not acknowledged that ticket, and they will know they need to reach out because we have a 2-hour window to hit these tickets. So there's a lot of control and a lot of nice administrative features that are in here, and we're hoping that it's going to make things much easier. As a phase two, we're hoping we can also help navigate them to their tickets so that they can navigate appropriately and hit tickets in a more efficient manner than top to bottom. So finally, if we can hop over to our operations dashboard. So what we have here is we're pulling in information and trying to give you that administrative view of what's going on at any given time in the day. We have our staff members all lined up, the number of tickets that each staff member is handling. You can still you can actually interact with this. If you want to see only one individual person's tickets, it will show you where those are. If you want to pick a certain ticket, it will drive you down to that ticket. So this is all dynamic and interactive information as well. And if you notice, we have the daily inspection list there as well. So that is actually the inspection scheduled through the Munis system. So we're pulling in two completely different systems into this one dashboard. So we have Munis daily inspections as well as the stuff being housed in OneCall, but it brings it all together for you because it's all those workers working on those inspections. So our hope that we've been able to bring in the Munis inspections is that we can expand this to other groups. So Building Code actually asked for a similar solution, and we created a dashboard for them as well. So same thing, you have your staff members, you have where they are in a given day, what type of inspections they're doing, how many final inspections they have, and then if the manager notices that I have one person going all over, I have them all down through the entire western side of the county, and then there's one all the way up at the northeastern end of the county. Maybe it would make sense to reassign that inspection to someone who's more nearby. So We're hoping that this will give you a little glimpse into all of the work that's been going on over the last year in our GIS department and where we're hoping the future of GIS in Sussex County will go. And please feel free to give us your feedback. And if there's any other applications that you can think of that you think they would benefit from the use of the work our GIS team is doing, then please feel free to let us know.
Any questions from council? Comments?
Just amazing.
Mr. Arlett.
Just amazing. That's
Thank
all.
Thank you.
Just shocking.
I think we need a dashboard following Sam around all day long.
He's got one. His Cadillac.
There you go.
Where's that Cadillac?
Just thank you so much.
I would say it is very impressive what you all have done so far. It really is. It's great.
Thank you.
It's great. Thank you very much.
Wish I understood it all.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, feel free to come upstairs. We'll give you another rundown.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, I don't think you want George up here.
Thank
Great
you for
job.
Your time.
Thank Congratulations. Yeah, thank you.
George,
you
put
really illustrates how we're trying to become as efficient as we can. We have, on any given day, numerous employees that are out on the street doing their tasks, and this GIS technology allows them to do their task more efficiently. It also allows us to manage the system overall. When you start to see the system, especially our wastewater system, in this scope, you see how large it really is, and controlling and operating that is quite the task. Mr. Medlars may be able to opine on that as well.
Mr. Medlars.
Good morning, Mr. President. Good morning, Council. First of all, thank you to the GIS team. They're very much appreciative. And I think we have a wonderful relationship. They're extremely responsive, cooperative, and bring forward innovative solutions. I think, just like Councilman Ouellette said, I think we're pretty much at the cutting edge. We don't want to be at the bleeding edge, but we are at the cutting edge of the GIS applications. And when you see how you bring different platforms together in one application, that's pretty cutting edge. So. And you know that Joel's here, and he makes these things happen. So we still have a number of items. We're working with them, and we will be going live actually with the field locators using the GIS data within the next few weeks. I mean, like, we're waiting on one last piece of information because we have to have the water system as well as the sewer system live. But by the end of October, we expect to be, give or take a day or two or a week. We would be live with the locators being out there. The tablets, and I saw Dwayne was in the office over here. The tablets for the locate teams, the first few are on order, so they can use it. they'll be equipped within the next, but by the end of this year, we should have all the locators equipped with the tablets. So I'm a big GIS guy, so I'm very, very happy. So this is the mundane stuff here on paper. You still get on paper. It's the Heron Creek. We're back for the third time on Heron Creek for two issues, and these are good things. The third phase funding has come in. I gave you the whole history. As you can see, the two other phases developed. We have an overall funding package of over $20 million, with a significant amount of grant funding in place. In this last round, $1.9 million. That's the third time we got grant funding in that order of magnitude. And we believe we are well within the limits of the authorization given to us by the voters in the referendum for the Heron Creek Sewer District. We are finalizing the pump station design for a bit later on this year. The only holdup is, I hate to say it, but we're still working with Winding Creek Village on the last pump station location. That's the last open one, which is holding up the full pump station package. I'm again appearing before the board on the Saturday the 13th of October. That's the full board meeting with the membership, and hopefully get this wrapped up, but it's getting to be a slow process there. So today you'll be asked to approve the loan resolution, which goes with that funding package from USDA, as well as authorized for us to proceed to public hearing on the actual bond issue and authorization, and the finance department and the engineering department. It's always a joint project. When you see this, you see Ms. Jennings and I jointly presenting this to council for that reason. Any questions?
Okay.
No questions? Okay. Do we have a suggested motion? Yeah. You know, it's a little bit lengthy because of the two items, so bear with me. Be moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering and Finance Departments that the USDA loan resolution authorizing supplemental indebtedness for the Heron Creek Area Expansion Project Phase 3 be approved, and that the associated debt ordinance titled an ordinance authorizing the issuance of up to $5,601,000 of general obligation bonds of Sussex County in connection with the construction and equipping of an extension of sanitary sewer services to Heron Creek and authorizing all necessary actions in connection therewith be introduced and be voted on after the prerequisite public hearing.
Mr. Moore, I assume we can do both these the same.
Yes, but once we introduce the ordinance, there can be no further discussion.
Correct.
Of that.
Mm-hmm. But somebody's got to introduce it, but I mean, yes. We can do both in one motion?
Yeah, it is normally we do one and then introduce the other. So if you just vote on the first motion and then he's already read the short title, and then someone could introduce that.
Okay. Any questions on the motion?
It's all private paid for, right?
Yes, sir.
That is all. It is not general debt. It is debt by the USDA, the federal government, which we back up with a general obligation bond. And it's all repaid by the ratepayers within the district. And we feel we're well within the authorization given to us by the referendum.
More questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. Would anyone choose to introduce the ordinance that Mr. Medlars read off?
Introduce it.
Mr. Arlette introduces the ordinance. Okay.
Thank you, and thank you, Councilor, that I think I go back and forth every time, so he has to keep me, Councilor has to keep me straight.
Next is the James Farm Master Plan Implementation.
That is a follow-up from last week, and you remember last week was the open space parks and rec and trail grant application, which the county did not have to match, but we have to sponsor. All this has been submitted, everything signed and submitted to the state. Now, under the last year's application, we were the sponsor. It's $85,000 which we received, and $85,000 you matched. That money is used for the phase one implementation of the master plan. The first piece of the phase one implementation was the entrance. We broke the entrance out because that has to be done. And the rest of it has to fall in place based on funding availability. But the entrance had to be finished in accordance with the DLDOT permit. And the contract has been advertised. We had three bids. And as you can see in the bid summary, the bids were closely structured. And we are ready to make an award for that portion of phase one. So once we have the contract on board, together with the center, we'd like to discuss whether they're interested in some of the unit price extensions to be applied within the preserve. In essence, if we want to extend the curb further in, if we want to extend some of the pavement section further in, we have unit prices to do so. If they're willing to entertain that with us, we would come back to you in the future for such an authorization. But right now, strictly the right-of-way work only.
A motion.
Sure. Oh. I have one.
Let's get a motion first. I have a question.
Okay, motion first. Be moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that contract C-19-02A, James Farm Master Plan Implementation, Cedar Neck Road Entrance Work, be awarded to Gateway Construction for their low bid price of $97,597.50.
Make that motion.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Second. Cole. Second, Mr. Arlette. Questions on the motion, Mr. Burton?
Is there a timeline on the other pieces if the Inland Bays so choose? I mean, how long does the extra pieces get to be put out there?
There are a couple moving parts to the extra phase one package. Two pieces of this package are being pursued directly by the center, that being the entrance sign and the entrance gate. So they're sort of set aside. They will come off the funding. The rest would be the parking and the landscaping package. So obviously this contractor is not a landscaper, so that would not be part of this. What is interesting is the parking, which has similar curbing, similar sidewalk, and has some more pavement, but it also has a crushed shell parking area. So that would be another unit item. So none of these have a timeline, Councilman Burton, and they are, we can negotiate them 3 weeks into the contract, or 5 weeks, or 6 weeks, or 10 weeks. However, once we close the contract, that window closes. So that's really, the center is evaluating, they have the unit prices, they're evaluating it, and we're sort of, we're only guiding them when they come back. So I will be meeting with the project manager, Mr. Collins, and with the director, and Mr. Basin. So they will come back, and the three of us, one, if needed, will come back to you, let's say in the next month or two, okay, as a proposed change order, if we have one.
Thank you.
We have spent over $90,000 going as far. Is that correct?
Just for the entrance portion, Councilman, we're spending $100,000 of the partial grant money and partial match. That's all FY18 last year's money.
So how are we getting this money back for the taxpayers?
Half of it is state funding.
State funding.
Half of it state funding, and the other half was in your previous FY18 council budget approved by you last year.
Although it's approved, it's still our taxpayer money, right?
Yes.
We're still spent. So we're not. Where's the return at? How do we get a return on this money?
People get to use the James form.
You do? I've never been there.
It's a county service.
Maybe you should go.
I know. I should go and look at it. So we bought the farm and give it to them to start with, and we're still at $97,000.
The farm was a gift to the county.
Right.
We owned it.
We owned it. It was a gift to the county. I'll bet you Councilman Cole would be glad to take you down there for a day.
I bet he'd be glad to pay the extra money on it.
How about that? Any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
No.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I'll vote yes.
And I'm not taking them down
there. Thank you, sir.
Not now. Mm-mm.
Plan days, road expansion, Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District, request to post notices. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Not much fun. Pigs in a bag.
I'm here this morning to request permission to prepare and post notices for the expansion of the West Rehoboth area for the Plantation Road. The request was made by DBF on behalf of their clients, LMHT LLC, for parcels 334-57.01. The partial wishes to connect to an existing force main installed to service the county-owned EMS facility on Plantations Road, and an infrastructure will be required. The engineering department would like to include parcel 57.02, which is the EMS station, as part of this expansion, and the expansion will consist of 9.07 acres more or less. Property owners will be responsible for system connection charges of $6,360 per EDU based on current rates. Any questions?
57.2 is what, acres?
The 57.02 is our EMS station that we just built. It's actually not in our district, but it is served by county sewer. We can do that without it being in the district, but while we're making the expansion, we would like to include it.
I assumed it was that, but I'm looking here, it's 57 acres.
No, that's a tax parcel idea.
Tax parcel number.
Tax parcel number, Sam.
Well, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm asking.
Yep. Tax parcel number, yeah.
Tax parcel.
Any questions?
We're not going to create a donut hole there, you know, with that area not being serviced. I mean, we got the ability to service all that anytime they feel like they need it, or is it, you know, sometimes we go around areas and...
We're trying not to go around it. We're actually working on a project with 57107, which will give us service to a large section of that white area that kind of juts in there now.
Okay.
Be a good idea.
More questions? You have a motion, sir?
I do. Be it moved by the Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to prepare and post notices for the Plantation Road expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District, West Rehoboth area, as presented on September 18th, 2018.
Pleasure, counsel.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I have a motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Tentative public hearing will be scheduled, or is scheduled, for October 23rd, 2018 at a regular council meeting.
Thank you. Old business, Ms. Cornwell. First thing, conditional use number 2127, filed on behalf of Wine Works LLC.
Good morning.
Morning.
County Council held a public hearing on June 5th of this year regarding this application. At that time, you deferred action pending a response from the county attorney regarding a couple of questions regarding the proposed use. Some of those questions were regarding agritourism and what was permitted and what was not permitted as part of agritourism. Because again, this application is a request for a conditional use for a special event venue so they can have additional events beyond what is permitted as part of the winery.
President of the Council?
No. Let's try to remember the location of this one.
Can you bring it up on the on the map thing while she's doing that? Mr. Moore, can you read the short title of this thing?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an event venue to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 25.6 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning and zoning numbered 1 through 7 with conditions A through F.
Pleasure, counsel. I guess first, then we can, then you, when you want to amend something, I assume.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. When, who goes first?
He would need to go first.
Yep. I need to go first. Okay. What, one, let's just wait till this gets pulled up. We'll give it 1 second. Sure. So we all know what we're talking about.
Parcel isn't yellow.
Can you zoom? okay. Got it.
That's
it's an odd shaped parcel.
Is this the one that's the winery?
Yes.
Yes.
And they have events there already?
Yes.
Okay, that's the site where the up front, kind of take your little cursor or whatever, showing where that building is and everything. It's up there in the front section.
The right building there. And the parking lot are up here.
Right.
They're growing.
Supposing works, yeah, you know, wine.
They were going to be
wine.
Growing grapes in
there's,
the back.
I don't know what's out there now, but they're supposed to be. That's the plan. No shoulders on this road. You can see older subdivisions have been up and down there. Quite a number of people have lived there a long time. Anyway, I move that the current conditions 8A through F be deleted in their entirety and the following shall be instituted in their place. A would be the events shall be strictly limited to the front portion of the parcel commencing at Blackwater Road, that's County Road 384, and running approximately 1,228.94 feet. No events shall be permitted in the back portion of the parcel.
Where does that put you on that?
That's in the front, just this front section is what we're talking about.
Where's 1,200 some feet put you? Where's that?
That goes straight back, I think.
It goes straight back to the back property line.
Okay.
That rectangular.
Okay. All right.
Right where the dog leg goes out, that's where we're not, where there's no events will be permitted in that back portion. Okay. Events shall be limited to Fridays and Saturdays only. All events shall end no later than 10 p.m.
Why do you want to do?
Well, it's a residential neighborhood. I mean, I think 10 o'clock is enough for those people to have to put up with. You got on the right-hand side all the way down, and then you got all that back there feeds into Blackwater Road.
Okay.
And there's some single-family homes on larger parcels right
it's
there.
It's not a neighborhood, per se.
No, I'm just saying there is existing communities, subdivisions that have been there for 30 years and more. Anyway, it's a residentially zoned area, agricultural residential. And I would suggest that if you, and I actually requested, I said you should ride down that road. There's, it's a shame. Can you zoom in and show us what the roadway looks like by any chance? Is it? It's just, it's a county road with actually no shoulders, no markings, no nothing going through there. And anyway, I'll move on here. I said food and beverage service and music or similar entertainment is permitted in conjunction with the permissible agritourism activities and in compliance with the Sussex County Code. Certain agritourism activities, such as barn parties and farm festivals, as set forth in Delaware 9, Code 38A, I guess, are permitted. Concerts are shall be prohibited.
That is 306.
Oh, I'm sorry, 306A. Concerts shall be prohibited. All activities on the premises shall comply with the fire marshal, parking capacity, and general permitting requirements. Applicants shall be required to obtain a fire marshal rating for the building in which the events are held. Applicants shall comply with the fire marshal's determination of maximum number of people allowed on the premises at any given time. But in no event shall the events be more than 200 people. Shall there be more than 200 people at any event? Parking shall be in compliance with the Sussex County Code. All parking areas shall be generally shown on the final site plan. No parking shall be permitted on nearby county roads. All entrance locations shall be subject to review and approval by DLDOT. And the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning. Okay, that's the first motion.
Okay.
All right.
That's a motion. Do I have a second to that?
I'll second that motion.
Second. Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Burton. Questions on the motion?
Well, the motion is, this particular motion is to delete the ones that were currently a part of the public hearing in the record and in place these, replace them with this. Is that correct? This is that is the motion.
Yes, correct.
Not that we are agreeing to these, it's just that we're just replacing these.
Right.
Okay.
So how many acres is that all together? how many acres are we looking at?
The total site or just where their activity is?
The large site. They can park the cars over on the small site, I guess.
No, we're only limiting it to that rectangular area, Sam.
Because the big back site where they're going to grow grapes, apparently.
How about they want to park the car there?
I mean, the owner can, but the when you're having events on the weekends, when they're having their events, they can't park back there for the general event goer.
In answer to Mr. Wilson's question, it is 25.60 acres for the total site.
25 acres.
I figured by 25.
Yeah. I do want to ask one question, if I may. These conditions were based on what? Is it based on the public hearing that we had? I'm wondering what was the premise of these?
Public hearing.
Based on the input that we received from the public hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If I remember correctly, aren't these what was proffered?
Pretty much, except that I believe the applicant wanted to go 7 days a week.
That's right.
And all we've done is we've narrowed it down to, because it's an agricultural residential neighborhood with existing residences that have been there, again, long time. None of this is new development. This is older stuff. A lot of people moved to the country for some peace and quiet.
Yeah, but I do think that didn't he say barn parties, farm fests? I mean,
but you're permitted. Yeah, that's permitted by the agritourism legislation. So no, we're not prohibiting that. It just he talked about also weddings and other parties of corporate parties, et cetera, and then had a concert series going on like weekdays at night and stuff like that. So this just limits it to what he wanted to do on basically Friday and Saturday. Which again, I think works for the neighborhood, so it goes a little both ways.
Any more questions to council?
I actually have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
You state no concerts. He did state that every once in a while they will have just somebody there playing a guitar or as part of the winery that they have. Is that now going to be prohibited during the weeknights?
I wouldn't interpret that because that is not a concert per se. That was part of his agritourism business, and if it was inside event or in the back, that would be part of agritourism.
I just wanted to ask, that was some of what he had asked for, because that's what he was doing.
That would probably fall into a barn party or something.
Right.
Which is required to be inside, and that's where we asked the fire marshal, make sure we have capacity ratings for these buildings, because he built all this stuff, started doing it without any permits.
No, he actually got a permit. The site plan was approved. The use for the building, for the winery with some space. So actually, the building's been through building code, fire marshal, all plan review.
It's the use. No, I know the building. Okay, I'm sure the use is on site.
Right, and the fire marshal would have already addressed that as part of their review for the building.
Not if he went in for a building that was, he bought agriculturally zoned residential land. And I can't believe he went in and said, I'm going to build a barn for parties. And then, anyway, I don't know. It doesn't matter. I think this addresses something. I don't know how he did that. It's like the guy who builds a garage, a big extra big garage with the intent of doing certain things, but then when he goes into planning and zoning, he's not telling him, I'm going to have try to run a repair business in there. We find that out later. And I think his activities, a lot of his activities were not in compliance with our county code.
Right, and that's why he contacted staff, discussed, because he believed what he was doing all fell in with the agritourism, again, process and definition, and it does not, which is why he came in for the special event permit, for the conditional use for it as a special event, or as an event venue.
And he's still, under this scenario, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Moore, if he wanted to have a special event like we do when we get this special new upgraded special event ordinance, he can still do that on top of this, right?
He could still come in for a special event, although in this case he's come in for the conditional use for it to be on a permanent basis, a regular basis.
Right.
And that's what this is limiting, that there would be no concerts except for the agritourism.
And one of the, I read the concert thing he had, and he had like Love Seed Mama Jump on a Thursday night or something, whatever night it was, and Love Seed Mama Jump's not a guy playing the violin in a barn. And in a residential neighborhood, Love Seed Mama Jump would have you jumping wherever you live in a nearby area. So I'm very concerned about the residential component of our AR1 district, that we make sure that we protect as best we can, and plus give this gentleman the ability to do, some events. Best of both possible worlds, I think.
In the agritourism, all this stuff, can you have weddings? Is a wedding allowed? No weddings.
That's part of the reason he was here.
Which he now can do under this.
He was doing Easter egg hunts, he was doing weddings, he was doing other events. He had a few concerts.
Gerald Hawker coffee.
There you go.
He was having craft nights, he was having birthday parties, he was having baby showers, he was having live entertainment and all of that. Some that fell outside of the agritourism, as it was not associated with the winery and the definition of the agritourism.
So he still can't do any of those things with this
Friday and Saturday.
Well, if this goes through with that condition, he would not be able to do any of that on weeknights. He would only be able to do those events on
Friday and Saturday.
On Friday and Saturday.
But again, I'll go back to my question. This is being put in here because of the comments from the public hearing. Is that correct?
There was no opposition to this application at the public hearing, at either Planning Commission or County Council public hearing.
So I'll ask again, for the third time, why are we having these conditions if there was nobody from the public questioning this? And you're saying yes, but really there was
If you listen to the tape, you'll hear concerns from myself raising some issues during the public hearing process, which becomes part of the record. Yeah. And my comments are as just important as anybody else's. Correct?
Yeah, there were questions raised by Mr. Cole concerning
others,
this.
I don't know if any others. I can't remember if anybody else chimed in.
How far are you living from that place, George? How far are you living?
Sam, that's got nothing to do with it.
I would think it had a lot to do with it.
Okay.
If you live 10 miles from there, why worry about a little bit of noise from me?
Okay. All right. Go ahead. And do it.
Based on the conversation, I don't know if we need to do it now or after the fact, but I would
I would want to go back to review that public hearing and the testimony provided in that record. I don't know if we do it after this, before we actually vote on something, or we defer this now, or have a motion to defer to be able to go back and relook at that and re-listen to the record and the audio.
If that were your desire, it would be better before any of the votes.
Anything. All right. I would move a motion then to defer this for 1 week, allowing the opportunity to go back and review.
But there's also a current motion on the floor. And a second.
And we can ask, would you remove your second?
I would.
Will you remove your motion?
I guess so. All I can tell you, let me just point out that this is an agricultural residential neighborhood. And if we don't protect the basis, the bottom line, on an agricultural residential neighborhood with an individual who just moved out here, not even a year, whatever it is, and is doing a full-fledged commercial operation, very like a miniature Hudson Fields on this location in the agricultural residential neighborhood, in this small piece of ground, on a county road that has no shoulders, has no markings in the road, then folks, we've got a lot to learn here. So all I'm going to tell you, Sam, I don't have to live next to it, young man. I can live miles away and know enough about that. So anyway.
Will you remove your motion?
On. I'll remove my motion.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Arlett, to defer.
Same old petty stuff.
Do we have a second to Mr. Arlett's motion?
I'll second.
So motion, second, Mr. Wilson. Questions on a motion? We're going to take the vote on deferral for 1 week.
I'm going to get George.
Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Motion carried. Thank you, ma'am.
George,
next.
The next is the ordinance regarding special events. Planning Commission held a public hearing last year. County Council held a public hearing in January of this year. Last week, staff did provide an update as to where we were with the ordinance, that there is a new form. There's a new policy, and we've also addressed the concerns that were heard from the public regarding the ordinance. So this is back before you for your consideration this morning.
Good morning,
Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Lawson, I think, can you get that, the revised language?
I have it. See if it's on the menu, Janelle. If not, it's called Old Business. Yep, it's there, the Word document.
That's Old Business, sir.
There you are. So as we talked about last week, and I'm not going to reiterate everything that's come to this point, but we heard a lot of comments from the public. What we did is came up with some revised language, basically a reorganization of what was introduced. And then as what's shown up here, we added some language in the highlighted yellows. One was we confirmed that events that are consistent with the permitted use and usual occupancy of a site or that occur on land owned by the United States of America, the state of Delaware, Sussex County, municipalities, or educational institutions are permitted. That was designed to address those concerns by fire halls and VFWs and churches, schools, etc. The wording educational institution, that was a change from reference to schools, only because educational institution is a newly defined term that covers all types of schools, whether they're public, charter, religious, etc. So that was some new language that was a result of the public input. Also, there was concern about clarity, and so in addition to reorganizing sort of that first paragraph, we pulled out the types of criteria that the director or his or her designee shall consider and put that in the list form. It's just more easily readable to the public. And then we added the last highlighted feature, which is the statement about failure to abide by the policy can result in termination of the administrative approval. So with that, and based on sort of the direction we got last week from council, what I have is a motion to amend the ordinance to reflect these changes, and if that's acted on favorably, then there would be a motion to adopt the ordinance. And because the same language you see on the screen actually appears in five different places in the code, I'm not going to read it five times.
Please.
We can just reference it once, and it covers all those districts.
Okay, you have a motion.
I do. Mr. Moore, did you want to read the short title?
Yes, we'll read the short title, then you'll make your motion for the amendments. And on the short title, it's an ordinance amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Articles 4, 6, 10, 11, 11A, and 12, all Roman numerals by amending sections 115-20, 115-22, 115-39, 115-69, 115-71, 115-77, 115-79, 115-83.2, 115-83.5, 115-85, and 115-87 to amend and clarify certain short-term special events as permitted uses in the AR1, GRB1, C1, CR1, and M districts.
So with that said, I'm going to give a quick preface to this. Council wanted this motion to sort of explain a little bit how we got there in terms of the public input. So the motion's a little bit longer. There's some whereas or preamble type language. So be it moved that Sussex County Council amend the special events ordinance that was just read into the record by Mr. Moore to address many of the comments that were received during the public hearings on the ordinance. During the hearings, the public expressed concern about how special events would be treated on certain locations. These proposed amendments confirm that events are permitted on properties where the type of event is typical for that type of property. Examples would include events and gatherings at fire halls, VFWs and American Legions, fraternal organizations, churches, and similar organizations. The proposed amendments also clarify that no review by our planning and zoning staff is required for lands owned by the United States, the state of Delaware, municipalities, or educational institutions. Those types of events would still be subject to the county policy regarding county EMS coverage. The public also said that the ordinance could have been more clearly drafted. The proposed amendments reorganize some of the ordinance wording and place the criteria that our planning director can consider into a list form. Also, council has had concerns about what should happen if an event coordinator does not comply with the county special event and public safety services policies and procedures. The proposed amendments add a sentence to confirm that the county has the ability to terminate an administrative approval if the policies are not followed. For these reasons, and others stated in the record, the special events ordinance shall be amended by replacing the introduced wording in lines 40 through 69 of Section 1 regarding Section 115-20A, parentheses 13, lines 112-141 of Section 4 regarding Section 115-69A, parentheses 27, close parentheses, lines 169 through 198 of Section 6 regarding Section 115-77A, lines 231 through 260 in Section 8 regarding Section 115-83.2A, and lines 297-326 in Section 10 regarding Section 115-85A, with the following inserted language, and then this is the new language. Special events held outdoors or within a temporary structure for a purpose different from the permitted use and usual occupancy of a premises or site that are administratively approved by the director or his designee when the event will not impair the purpose and intent of the zoning ordinance is not so recurring in nature as to constitute a permanent use not otherwise permitted in the district and will not significantly affect the surrounding properties. Events that are consistent with the permitted use and usual occupancy of a site or that occur on land owned by the United States of America, the state of Delaware, Sussex County, municipalities, and educational institutions are permitted. Special events include circuses, carnivals, midways, promotional and tent sales events, fairs, festivals, concerts, rodeos, shows, races, walks, or any other event or mass gathering. No more than three special events shall be approved for the same property or premises during a calendar year. Each special event shall be counted as one, and in parentheses one, calendar day, not including reasonable setup and removal time when the event is not otherwise underway. In determining whether to administratively approve a special event, the director or his or her designee shall consider the following. A, the estimated number of attendees. B, the size of the parcel where the special event is to be located. C, the parking requirements of the special event. D, roads and traffic patterns providing access to the special event. E, prior events conducted by the applicant. F, noise, light, odor, and dust generated by the special event. G, proposed hours of operation and number of consecutive days. And H, such other considerations that may be applicable to the requested event. The director or his or her designee may impose conditions upon an administrative approval. All special events, regardless of size, location, use, or duration, shall be subject to the requirements of the Sussex County Special Event and Public safety, services, policies, and procedures. Failure to abide by the Sussex County Special Event and Public Safety Services Policies and Procedures may result in the termination of the special event's administrative approval. Special events that do not meet these requirements or which are not administratively approved shall require a conditional use. That's the motion.
Pleasure, Council.
So I'll move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second,
Mr. Burton. Questions on the motion?
Yes, sir. So just to clarify, if I may, this motion is to change the introduced ordinance as presented just now.
It is amending the introduced ordinance.
Correct.
And that is all this motion is doing. The second vote would be approving the ordinance as amended.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
More questions?
What side's a partial are you talking about?
Mr. Wilson.
Talking about size. What size of partial are you talking about? How big land?
This doesn't have any specific size.
Well, you said something about size.
No, that's one of the, just size in general is one of the considerations that the office would take into account whether to approve the event administratively.
Well, how big would it have to be for you to consider it?
We got what the request for. Well, what the event's going to be, right? Well, I mean,
I don't know. They got down one day at a time. One day got shut down, so I want to know how big the partial is. What's the requirement of the partial? Is it 2 acres, 20 acres?
There is no specific requirement.
Or 30 acres.
It's going to depend on
the proposed use.
The proposed use, the size of the parcel in relation to that proposed use. That's going to be a case by case determination.
That's about as big as you can get in it.
Well, that's the idea. We wanted it to be fairly broad so that we could get a lot of these events.
That's the idea. Yeah. It's pretty big for me anyway.
Any more questions?
I just say on a case by case basis, you know, to make a determination, wouldn't there have to be some maybe criteria or something somewhere in writing that, you know, like a policy that would give Janelle the ability to say no and have the reason to say no based on such and such?
Well, we do have the policy, and items A through H are the specific criteria that we didn't have before. So
that'll do it. So that gives you the basis. Okay, yes. Good.
Would you like to read that to me again? I missed it.
The criteria.
It's A through H. It's on the screen. The number of attendees, the size, parking, roads in the area, prior events conducted by the applicant, noise, light, odor, and dust, hours of operation, that sort of thing.
No dust.
It doesn't say no dust, but, you know,
it could be considered if it's going to create a lot of dust.
I still misunderstood you again.
I don't know how difficult that will be to do, because they're kind of generic type of maybe or kind of broad things. I mean, it's just gonna, once you establish, you know, established law, you know, if you start denying somebody for certain reasons, my fear is that nothing's going to get denied. It's just because it's, they're coming with lower estimates, you know, and then we'll find out we're shocked, and then road noise and stuff, you don't know that till it's over or during. And it's too late. So a lot of these things, it's, you're going to find out information that's too late to say no to somebody, and then we go to the next one, and we'll do better next time. So anyway,
the application spells that out, and the signature line on that certifies that what they're stating is accurate. And on the back side, that's what E is, prior events conducted by the applicant. So if they have misrepresented something on an initial event that turns out to be completely different from what they do, and they come back in to apply,
that can be part of the consideration.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, that means you got to go back and research all this stuff. And I don't know. Again, hopefully we will be doing stuff like that.
No. Well, that's one of the real benefits of
the new online application.
Okay. Right. All of that is tracked.
It's easy. Okay.
Easy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just sort of like the GIS stuff we saw earlier. It's the same.
But it's going to be a complaint-driven enforcement or response to all this stuff.
Yes and no, based on testimony from last week regarding our paramedics, because they said that they provide a report each time they're out. That's mm-hmm. not necessarily the case.
Mm-hmm.
So that's their
do an after-action report.
Exactly, and that would be part of that record, part of the digital the digital piece, if you would.
If those A through H's are part of their report, it would be good.
I got to be careful. I'll start.
I have no questions. They are part of the report.
We're going to take the vote
on these changes. I will vote.
Four pages he read.
Yes, I will vote yes, and I want to thank the staff. I know it was a tremendous amount of time and effort and listening, and I want to thank you in advance. So, yes.
Thank you. Mr. Burton?
I vote in favor of the amendment.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
All yes, motion carried.
So the next step would be the motion to adopt, which I think Mr. Moore has to read.
So we'll read the short title again as amended in order to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Articles 4, 6, 10, 11, 11A, and 12, all Roman numerals, by amending Sections 115-20, 115-22, 115-39, 115-69, 115-71, 115-77, 115-79, 115-83.2, 115-83.5, 115-85, and 115-87 to amend and clarify certain short-term special events as permitted uses in the AR1, GR, B1, C1, CR1, and M districts as amended by the motion just passed by council.
Pleasure, council.
I would like to, and this motion here is obviously is to approve the ordinance as introduced back in,
as amended,
back in October, right? If I'm not mistaken, is that correct?
Yes.
As of last year. So I think I would personally like to again review this entire record because we got to get it right. In my mind. So to me, I'd like to see a deferral for 1 week.
Have it a workshop.
Well, maybe we should do that. Maybe that's not a bad idea.
The motion is to defer.
For 1 week. And then again, this is a big deal. It's been almost a year now. And so for me, I want to be able to go back and refresh and make sure we have this right. So I would like to defer for 1 week for further consideration.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
I would only ask that if, for the purpose of the motion, I'm not available next Tuesday. So I didn't want to have that motion if you need me here.
You on vacation?
Yeah,
somewhere?
I'm going out of town.
You can't
or 2 weeks.
We have a motion, Mr. Arlett, to defer for 2 weeks.
Thank you.
If that's the case.
Do we have a second, anybody?
I'll give him a second.
Motion, Mr. Arlett, second, Mr. Wilson, to defer for 2 weeks. We'll take the vote on the deferral. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Will you be back in 2 weeks?
Mr. Burton?
No.
Mr. Wilson?
No.
Mr. Cole?
No.
I vote no. That motion defeated. Now then, do we have a motion to approve the amended ordinance? Motion, yes. Mr. Cole?
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton. Questions on that motion? We will take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Well, in light of the council's decision not to defer for 2 weeks after a year, I think that's the wrong decision. So therefore, I'm not prepared to vote yes. So therefore, I will vote no. As presented today, for that reason. Not that I'm not in agreement, we don't need change, but I think 2 weeks is not much to ask. So I will vote no.
Mr. Burton?
I will vote yes.
Mr. Wilson?
I'm going to take the same answer as Mr. Arlett gave you.
That's a no vote.
It's a no vote.
Mr. Cole?
I'm going to vote yes because I've been pretty critical. I don't think it goes as far as I would have preferred. There were some areas that I'd have liked to have seen it a little more restrictive and a little tougher and more information. But we're moving forward, and I believe it's time to do something, and we can always try to have to come back. If we have to fix it, we'll do it. We'll have to see how it works. So I'm going to vote yes.
I certainly agree. I spent a lot of time doing this, a lot of hours. We heard from the public. I think you addressed those concerns. And I think they did a good job. I mean, is it perfect? Probably not. But we can always tweak that if we have to. Hopefully we won't have to. But I'm going to vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Mm-hmm.
Enjoy your vacation.
Next, Mr. Moore, I guess you need to read this.
Yes,
this is a continuation of, but...
That's correct, Mr. President. This is the limited, this is a continuation and a limited public hearing as